Talk radio for Catholic life.
Powered by you.
Listener supported.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
And welcome to the Cale Clark Show on this Tuesday, May the 7th, 2024. We got an incredible show for you today. Can't wait to get rolling with it. So everything is as normal. Even though it's our pledge drive week, you can still call in and talk to me for free, 888-914-9149. And you will want to call once you hear what the main topic is, 888-914-9149. You can also email the program anytime. Send me a show idea, a link, become a shadow producer. Send me something I might have a take on. The address is Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can also find me on the X app, formerly known as Twitter. My handle, though, is still the same, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Let's start this hour, as we always do during our pledge drive weeks, to ask for Our Lady's intercession. We're going to be talking about her later as well in just a moment. I can't resist, because May is the month of Mary. Let's pray a memorare for the success of this Relevant Radio pledge drive, and also for an end to abortion in the United States and all around the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was ever left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you do we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I got to tell you something. There are all kinds of Marian apparitions, and other apparitions as well, of our Lord. Some are real, some are not. How do you know the difference? Well, the Vatican is about to release a new document on discerning apparitions next week, Marian and otherwise. So we're going to talk about, first of all, how crucial are apparitions to our Catholic faith, and what's the news, what's the word on this document that's coming out? Well, Edward Penton, who's been a longtime Vatican journalist, has written about this, and we'll talk about it again, obviously, when the document actually comes out. But writing in the National Catholic Register, he talks about how Cardinal Victor Fernandez, and of course, he is the head of the newly named DDF. It's an old office, very old office, but it's newly named the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith. It's the Vatican's doctrinal watchdog. It used to be called the CDF. Very famously, it was once helmed by one Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who, of course, became Pope Benedict XVI. Back then, it was known as the CDF, the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. But the task is essentially the same. And, of course, Cardinal Fernandez, somewhat of a controversial figure over the, that's probably understating it, about the whole mess surrounding fiducia supplicans. I'm not going to get into that right now, but I am going to talk about what is in the works for next week. And according to Edward Penton, the DDF, that almost sounds like, you know, DDF, like a bug spray you spray on a critter that you want to get rid of. Well, you know, we got to get rid of the heresies. So the DDF is putting out a new document, and it's all about new rules, clear rules, and I don't think they're new rules. They're just, how do you discern whether or not an apparition is actually from God? What about other types of supernatural events? Well, Cardinal Fernandez actually talked to Edward Penton just a few days ago, and he said that he and his staff are finalizing a new text with clear guidelines and norms for the discernment of apparitions and other phenomena. End of quote. Now, by this point, I think Pope Francis, I can't be 100% sure of this, but I think he has seen this document, maybe given his final blessing to it before it's published next week. And it's been quite a long time, by the way. It's been a long while since the Vatican put out anything like this. The last time that the doctrinal office put out something along these lines on apparitions was in 1978. That was before John Paul II. It was before John Paul I. It was actually during the reign of Pope Paul VI, during the last days of his pontificate before he passed away. And that was, it was a pretty long title. It was called, you don't need to remember this, it was called Norms Regarding the Manner of Proceedings in the Discernment of Presumed Apparitions or Revelations. Okay, that's a mouthful. And hopefully the new document will not be called something that long, but there was a Croatian cardinal at the time who was in charge of doctrinal office. His name was Franjo Saper. And that particular document said, look, the church essentially has three things it wants to do when there's an alleged Marian apparition or an apparition of another saint or an apparition of our Lord. First of all, look at the facts. It's always a good idea to look at the facts, just the facts, ma'am. And then number two, this is kind of interesting. Public devotion for the apparition is allowed if this first examination, let's check out the facts. Is this in coherence with Catholic doctrine? Let's look at some of the particulars here. Public devotion is allowed. And then finally, the third stage is kind of interesting. The third stage, there's a judgment made on the authenticity of the event, whether or not it has a supernatural character. Extreme prudence, obviously, and that should go without saying here. There was another document that came out after this, but it wasn't from the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. It wasn't from the teaching watchdog of the Vatican. This is actually a document that came out in 2001 from a different department, the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Sacraments. That was another one that had something to do with apparitions, and it quoted the Catechism in saying this. And I'm going to get into what the Catechism actually says in just a second. It talked about the deposit of faith. The Catechism says in paragraph number 67 that these private revelations, and don't forget, these apparitions that we're talking about here are private revelations. Private revelations don't belong to the deposit of faith. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. What is the deposit of faith? I want to go to the Bible for a second. I want to go to the letter of St. Jude. Now, Jude is such a short letter. There are no chapters, only verses, but it's a powerful letter, really packs a punch. And it's the, if you want to know where this is in your New Testament, it's right before the book of Revelation. So it's the second last book. And this is what it says in verse 3 of Jude. Jude writes this. By the way, his real name is Judas, but nobody wants to be called that anymore, so just call me Jude, thanks. But in Jude verse 3, it says this, "Beloved, being very eager to write to you of our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you," now, this is the part you need to know, "to contend for the faith." I love that, contend for the faith. It's like fighting, we're in the arena, we're kind of slugging it out. With heretics, with false teachers, we appealing to you to contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Once for all delivered to the saints. This is the deposit of faith. This is absolutely the deposit of faith. Now, the Second Vatican Council said that, and it just kind of reaffirmed what the church has always taught, there is no new public revelation expected for the church. It's done. It's already here. It's called the deposit of faith. So there are private revelations. Yes, we'll talk about that in just a second. But public revelation is what you have to believe to be a Catholic. It's for all people. That's what the word Catholic means. It's universal. So these are doctrines that all of us need to believe to hold the Catholic faith. Public revelation ended with the death of the last apostle. So you say, well, hang on here. What about all the church teachings through the centuries? Where does that come from? Well, really what we're doing here is we're emptying out the deposit of faith. And it was St. Irenaeus, I believe, who said that like a rich man depositing all of his cash in a bank, the Lord essentially put the deposit of faith into the church. And now we're simply making withdrawals. It's like a treasure chest that was dropped off, and we're just opening it up, and we're taking out coins. We're taking out gold. I mean, this is incredibly, it's invaluable teaching. And what we're doing is we're drawing out from the riches that are already there, but we're not adding anything new. We're just looking into what we've got. We're looking deeper into this deposit of faith. Or here's another example that I've seen used. It's like a head of cabbage or a head of lettuce. You're peeling back the layers. Imagine peeling back the leaves to get to what's inside. It's an unfolding of this great gift that we've been given. Now we're simply kind of taking it apart, and we're seeing the riches that are within, and we're looking deeper and deeper and deeper into these truths. But there are no new teachings to be expected, to be delivered. It's not going to happen. And that's what the deposit of faith is all about. So what does the church teach about these revelations? We're going to get into these private revelations, and what this new Vatican document says. And we're going to give you also three ways that you can tell whether or not an apparition or a private revelation is from God. We're going to get into all of that in just a couple of minutes. But right now, here's a word from Father Rocky, our chairman and CEO here at Relevant Radio.
Hi, Father Rocky here, asking you to give hope. Our spring pledge drive is underway, and we have matching funds this hour, so your gift gets doubled. Please help us with our operating costs by making a tax-deductible donation at relevantradio.com or on the app, or by calling 877-291-0123. We've got a special gift for you if you can give at the $50 a month level. It's a beautiful figure of our Blessed Mother, kneeling in prayer, head bowed in humility. It's hand-painted in vibrant colors. Take a look for yourself on the app or website. It's really special, especially in this month of May. We'll send you the Praying Madonna figure for a gift of $50 a month or more to Relevant Radio. And it's a great hour to give. We have a dollar-for-dollar match this hour, so your gift to Relevant Radio will be doubled. Give online now at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, or you can call us at 877-291-0123.
It's so good to be with you. This is Timory from Trending with Timory, joining Kale, who will be right back to the Kale Clark program in just a moment. We are asking you to give hope this spring and join us in making a pledge to Relevant Radio to help cover basic operating costs. You heard Father Rocky just a moment ago. We're asking you to give $50 a month. If you can give more, we are very grateful. If you can give less, we are grateful for every gift that is given, because it helps us to continue to do the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, spreading truth and a hope in a culture desperate for it. And so if you'd like to give at that $50 a month level, we will give you that beautiful icon of the Praying Madonna. I'm very picky about Marian statues, and this is one that I love. So if you'd like to donate, the phone number is 877-291-0123. You can also donate online at relevantradio.com.
And yeah, through the app as well, Timory. And our goal for this hour was we're looking for 87 people to step up, and we're looking to raise $27,000 this hour. And because it's a matching hour, we can do that in one shot. If you've been given the means and you're ready to bless Relevant Radio with this, then you can do so right now. But it's not necessarily about the amount. It's about the act of giving. That's the most important thing. And our model, as in all things, is Jesus himself. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 12? Timory, you know this really well. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also." And of course, in these uncertain economic times, the markets can go up, the markets can go down, interest rates can go up and down, the cost of living, whatever. We do know that our resources are safe in the kingdom. When we make an investment in the kingdom, it's going to be there for eternity. It's going to help other people to get there as well. Hey, another thing, just real quick, I have to add this, because St. Paul also said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Jesus has given everything. He humbled himself, and so he's really our model in giving. 877-291-0123, the Relevant Radio app, relevantradio.com. Your gift is matched 100%, Timory.
That's right, 100% matching, dollar for dollar. In fact, Sam just gave $1,000 in Danville, California. Doubling that gift,
Sam,
with generous donors means it is $2,000. Also, Michelle just gave $30, a second gift this week. That's doubled to $60. So what can you give? 877-291-0123 or online.
This is The Kale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We're talking about this very interesting document. I can't wait to see this when it comes out next week. It's from the Vatican's Doctrinal Office. It's going to be about how to properly discern Marian apparitions and other apparitions. How do you know if they're from God? 888-914-9149 is the number to call for the Kale Clark Show, toll-free to talk to me. 888-914-9149. 9149. So Edward Penton, famed Vatican journalist, has written a piece about this document that's coming out next week. And so, again, the last time the Vatican released something along these lines was in the year 2001. And one of the things that that particular document said, and this is going to build on that, no doubt, it's not going to take away from that in any way, is something that says in the Catechism, and there's a couple paragraphs really early on in the Catechism. I want to just point these out to you. Paragraph 66 and paragraph 67. Now, don't forget what Jude says. In Jude, verse 3, it talks about this deposit of faith once for all given to the saints. Well, here's the Catechism, kind of expanding on this a little bit. In paragraph 67, it says, throughout the ages, there have been so-called private revelations, quote-unquote, some of which have been recognized by the authority of the church. They do not belong, however, to the deposit of faith. It is not their role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live more fully by it in a certain period of history, guided by the magisterium of the church. And that's, of course, the teaching office of the church, the Pope and all the bishops united to the Pope, the Bishop of Rome. And by the way, that word magisterium, it comes from the Latin word magister, which means teacher. So the church is mater et magistra, mother and teacher. So guided by the magisterium of the church, the Catechism says, the sensus fidelium, the sense of faith of the people, knows how to discern and welcome in these revelations whatever constitutes an authentic call of Christ or his saints to the church. So there have been some authentic private revelations, and the magisterium has this responsibility of sorting that out. But again, as that paragraph says, it doesn't improve on the public teaching of the church. It doesn't complete it. It doesn't correct it in any way. But really what it's all about, because there's no new teaching given to the church, it's about applying the doctrine of Christ for a particular time and place in history. And when you look at the great approved Marian apparitions throughout the centuries, that's a great example of that. You think about Guadalupe. You think about what was going on in the New World at that time. What was going on in the Old World, for that matter. Europe is being torn apart by the Protestant Revolution. And in the New World, Mary appears to St. Juan Diego from December the 9th to the 12th in 1531. Of course, the miraculous image that's on the tomb. And by the way, if you ever come to the worldwide headquarters of Relevant Radio in Lincolnshire, Illinois, you'll see the beautiful Chapel of the Proclamation, and our masses there are being filmed, our daily masses. You can see it on Relevant Radio on our video stream, this beautiful image of Our Lady of Guadalupe there behind the altar. And of course, very much the way Mary appeared was a lot like the woman in Revelation 12, the way that she is described there. And the real image, of course, on the Tomb of Juan Diego, there has been no naturalistic explanation for this. But when Mary appeared to Juan Diego, this really touched off the greatest evangelism that's maybe ever been seen on the face of the earth. In just 10 years, in just one decade, about 8 million people converted to Catholicism. Previous preachers had really no success in trying to spread the faith in the New World, and a culture of death was defeated, of course, human sacrifice. All of this was so crucial in human history, and I think that's a great example of an apparition that was happening at a particular time, a particular place, and had a powerful effect. And we could think about so many more. We can think about Lourdes. We can think about Fatima in the 20th century, Our Lady warning that if people didn't get online with God, atrocities would continue. And we know how bloody the 20th century was, not only with world wars, but also the incredible persecutions that were unleashed against the Catholic Church. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. All right, so let's just get back real quickly to the Catechism here. All right, it says, Christian faith cannot accept revelations that claim to surpass or correct the revelation of which Christ is the fulfillment. As is the case in certain non-Christian religions and in certain recent sects which base themselves on such revelations. So in other words, there have been a few groups, more than a few, that have broken away from the Catholic Church because they just wouldn't give up believing in an apparition that was actually false. And that's the great danger, to be cut off, to be broken apart, like a branch broken off from the true vine, the Catholic Church. So this is really, really important to look into. And again, those paragraphs in the Catechism number 66 and 67, you can read those on your own. That's a great little mini catechism within the catechism about these private revelations. But I'm really interested in this Vatican document that's coming out, because there are cases like this that happen time and time again. In fact, Edward Penton reported this. Last month, the DDF, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, actually released a document that had been hidden for decades. It was from 1951, and it was all about an alleged Marian apparition in the Philippines. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it was called Our Lady Mediatrix of All Graces. And this alleged apparition happened in a place called Lipa in the Philippines in 1948. And this has been a huge source of tension in that region, and maybe in the diaspora Filipino community all over the world as well, because a lot of people think it's real. A lot of people think it's authentic. But the church hierarchy has said, sorry, it ain't. So what was this apparition all about, in case you haven't heard about this? It is alleged that the Virgin Mary appeared to a 21-year-old woman who was, in fact, a postulant to the Carmelites. She was postulating, trying to become a... She certainly postulated about this apparition, apparently, as well. Sorry, I can't resist. Anyway, so not trying to be funny about this, but she was a 21-year-old Discalce Carmelite postulant, and her name was Sister Teresa Castillo. And so... she said that the Virgin Mary was appearing to her for 15 days, beginning on September the 12th, 1948. Well, this all got investigated. It went to the Vatican, and the Vatican said, sorry, this ain't supernatural. Some of them are, this one is not. Okay, so there's always been a fight for decades about this. There are those who still believe in this, and what's... the danger is that some people will never go with what the church says if it's against what they think is the case. At any rate, just really quickly, one of the more damning pieces of evidence against this apparition was Mother Mary Cecilia of Jesus. She was the Mother Superior of this Discalce Carmelite convent. In 1951, she confessed. She wrote a letter to the Holy Father, and she confessed to having deceived the faithful about these alleged apparitions, and she asked for forgiveness. Now, that's pretty bad if you're going to say that this actually happened. That's definitely a strike against authenticity for sure. At any rate, so the DDF has now made this public. And the reason why they did this right now is because there's a case going on in the Philippines where there's a Dominican priest, he's also an exorcist, Father Winston Cabading. He was actually sued by another Catholic for offending her religious feelings, because he's basically going around saying, hey, this is not a legit apparition, so you probably shouldn't believe in this anymore. You definitely shouldn't believe in this anymore. The church has said it's not supernatural. So he was taken to court and it's unclear to me whether it's one person or a group of people. Anyways, a judge threw it out. The prosecutor said, this is ridiculous, threw it out of court. But these are the types of things that could go on. They can really have a terrible effect of rendering the body of Christ. We can't have this. We've got to have unity in the faith. Be back with much more. If you want to call in and give me your thoughts, 888-914-9149. It's the Cale Clark Show. Hang tight. Timmy's going to join me right now.
Hello, hello. It's great to be with you. We're asking you to give hope and join us this spring in supporting Relevant Radio and helping someone, whether it's maybe you who discovered, stumbled upon our channel or recommended it, help someone else to find our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of Him, the truth, the church, about Our Lady, learning about her and these Marian apparitions and the parameters for them. In fact, Tom loves the Cale Clark Show. And so if you'd like to give, join him and others. The phone number is 877-291-0122. Tom said this about the Cale Clark program. He said, so good to hear from you, Cale. I really enjoy both of your shows, although I'm not nearly as big a sports fan as you are. Please keep up the great work.
You.
I learn so much from listening to you and get so much positive reinforcement, which is really important in a world that wants to convince us not to believe what we must believe because it's the truth.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tom. God bless you. That's so encouraging. And yeah, that's what we're all about here at Relevant Radio. Our theme this week is Give Hope, and the truth gives hope. It's the truth that sets us free, and the truth is a person, of course, Jesus Christ. And he blesses us with the truth, and he also blesses us, Timory, with so many great things that we can use to equip other people, including our material resources. And this is what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I love that. And God really gives us providentially all that we need. We can trust him.
Right on time sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And I wish he wouldn't sometimes just, you know, can you give us a little bit of cushion? Why leave it till the last minute, Lord? He's always testing our faith. But I'll tell you what, here's another test of faith. He's given you resources so that you might be a blessing to others. God loves a cheerful giver, and why not give right now? 877-291-0123. Help us to bring Christ to the world through the media. If Relevant Radio has touched your life or the life of someone you know, go to the Relevant Radio app, relevantradio.com. Any gift, any size is matched 100%. It's all about the intent, not about how big the gift is. But God is calling on us to move, and not only to move our hearts, but move us to the phone and call that number, 877-291-0123.
That's right. If you didn't catch that number, I'll share it nice and slow, 877-291-0123. And we have beautiful gifts for you, from the praying Madonna statue to, if you can so give lovely. A little bit more, that $1,200 level, an icon, a really big, nice stone chisel icon of the Last Supper. Yeah. I love these. Again, I'm picky about some of these items, so if you can give now, we still need about $14,000. Head over to relevantradio.com.
Listener supported.
Yeah. Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Yeah, we do want to give hope, and we want to have an amazing back end of this hour here on the Cale Clark Show. 888. Should we use that as our new theme song, Jim? That's pretty fly, that song. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Talking about this new Vatican document expected next week on how to discern real apparitions, the genuine article. And there are a lot of phonies out there. There's no question about it. Also a lot of real ones. And let's face it. God is constantly speaking to people individually. And it's always been the case since the beginnings of the faith. But not all of them are, in fact, legit. And some people just think God is talking to them. It could be from another place. So how do you know if it's authentic or not? Well, great Catholic writer Philip Koslowski, and he writes a lot for the Alatea website. On his personal blog, he's got a nice piece up on three signs that a private revelation is from God. Now, again, you don't need to believe in any private revelations, even the approved private revelations and apparitions like Guadalupe, like Lourdes, like Fatima. You don't even have to believe in those to be not only a functioning Catholic, but a Catholic in good standing. Now, the approved ones are worthy of belief. I think that the approved ones certainly did happen, but you don't need to believe even the approved ones. So this is something that, again, is for applying the perennial teaching of the Church, the public revelation of the Church, to a particular situation, a particular time when we need it. But Philip Koslowski says, okay, here are three signs that a private revelation is from God. All right, let's look at number one. It is obedience. And this is really key, because look, if a revelation is not from God, then it's from somewhere else, right? So where else could it be coming from? It could be coming from human origin. A person might think that they're hearing from God, either interiorly, like, oh, I think I'm getting a locution, God speaking to me, or I think I've seen something, whatever the case might be. It might be of human origin, or it might be, if it's not from God, of diabolical origin. That's even worse. A demon in disguise, a demon appearing in the guise of an angel or something like that. the typical wolf in sheep's clothing, as Philip says. But here are three quick signs. Number one, obedience. Obedience. A lot of apparitions have been given to and been granted to members of religious orders. And one hallmark of any private revelation, he says, is that the visionary is obedient to their superiors. So, for example, if you're a layperson who thinks that they've received a revelation or an apparition, you would be obedient to your local ordinary, your bishop. If you are a member of a religious order, if you're a nun, then you're obedient to your mother superior. If you're a monk, same thing, okay? So Padre Pio, and we talked about Padre Pio a few days ago on the program. He had a lot of supernatural revelations from God, including the stigmata, not the least of which. But he also was suspected of being a charlatan by many people. And at one point, he was even under sanction from his own local bishop. And here's what Padre Pio said. Padre Pio said, "The will of the bishop is the will of God. The will of the bishop is the will of God." So he was obedient to his bishop, even when his bishop wasn't necessarily thinking that he was on track with God. Now, Padre Pio certainly was. He's a canonized saint, but the fact that he was obedient is very, very important. Saint Faustina, this is something that Kozlowski points out in his article as well. Saint Faustina once said this in her diary. This is from entry number 939 in her diary. She said, quote, "Satan can even clothe himself in a cloak of humility, but he does not know how to wear the cloak of obedience," end of quote. Wow, that is super powerful. So, of course, in the Bible, St. Paul talks about false revelations. The enemy can sometimes be behind that. And he's an angel of light. At the end of the day, he doesn't walk around with a red cape and horns and a little twirly mustache and a pitchfork. He's an angel of light. That's why his temptations look so good. He can kind of mimic the truth, but it's not quite the truth. There's always a lie mixed in there. But he can clothe himself, according to Sister Faustina, in a cloak of humility. So he's not really humble, of course. He's full of pride. That's how he became who he is. But he can make it look like he's humble, false humility, if you will. But he has no idea. He can't wear the cloak of obedience. So this is really the test. This is really the test, obedience. And it just kind of grates on us as recovering sinners. And I once talked to a priest years and years ago, and he said this. He said, "Cale, the hardest thing about the priesthood, it's not celibacy, it's obedience. It's obedience to your local bishop." Because sometimes you might think that they're not hearing from God, but you still have to be obedient to them. It's true. It's absolutely true. It really is something that is a mark that an apparition or a movement might be from God. It's obedient to the hierarchy of the church. Anyways, okay, point number two. Obedience is number one. How do you know if an alleged revelation is from God? Point number two, it doesn't add or subtract anything from divine revelation, from the public teaching of the church. Doesn't take away anything. It doesn't add anything to it. Doesn't try to correct Holy Mother Church. You know what? The church doesn't quite have this right. No, that you know it's not from God if that's what's going on here. So again, we go back to that paragraph 67 from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Private revelations are not meant to add or subtract from what has already been revealed by God. Again, it's for a specific application, a specific point of doctrine that's really, we really need to hold on to it in a certain time in history. There's nothing new. There's nothing, it's no revelation that's from God is going to say, well, you know what? The church had it wrong 5 centuries ago, 10 centuries ago, back in the beginning when it said X. That simply isn't true. No, an authentic revelation will never happen. Now, Kozlowski says sometimes it'll put a special emphasis on one of God's attributes. Great example of that is the Divine Mercy devotion. That literally is God's greatest attribute, his mercy. He doesn't have to forgive us, but he does. He does. He wants to. But it's not new. So that's just emphasizing one thing that was always true, but it's not new. So this is really, really important. If you ever hear of any alleged visionary who says, I know when the end of the world is going to happen. You can pretty much say, no, that's not true. You can rest assured that's not the case. Or if somebody tries to say, well, this type of liturgy, if somebody says the Latin Mass is the only way to go, the Novus Ordo is not from God, or if somebody says the Novus Ordo is the only way to go, the Latin Mass is not legit, that's a clear sign as well. All right, number three, the third factor to consider whether or not a revelation, a private revelation, is coming from God is this: humility. Humility. Kozlowski says this, quote, the third sure sign to look for is to see if the visionary is a humble person from humble origins and who does not seek any fame from the visions, end of quote. That's really, really important. When you look at people like Juan Diego, this very humble peasant, when you look at the three children of Fatima, these three shepherd children, I mean, they were children, humble, simple, trusting children of faith. Think about St. Bernadette Subaru of Lourdes, again, like very lightly educated, if you will, and yet she was the recipient of an incredible revelation. If somebody is trying to seek fame and fortune because of receiving these visions, you can pretty much bank that that's a mark against this being from God. I once heard of, I'm not going to name names or anything, but I heard that one alleged Marian visionary moved to the United States, lives in a mansion, and married a supermodel. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that these are bad things, but I just can't see somebody like St. Bernadette Subaru doing something like that. Living, in Beverly Hills or something. I don't know. I mean, but there are a few things that might have happened in that case. Like maybe originally something did happen, but the person went off track. That's also possible as well. But you just don't see that. In fact, for most of the real visionaries, their lives were really a living hell. St. Bernadette Subaru suffered a lot. We talked about her recently on the program as well. She became a nun, and other nuns were incredibly jealous of her, ostracized her. Even people in religious life, they're sinners too. And human passions and jealousy got the best of them. She was vindicated, of course. Not only is she canonized, she was incorrupt, the most beautiful incorrupt ever in the church. Think about, of course, the Walk to Mary, which happened this past Saturday to the Shrine of Our Lady of Champion in Wisconsin, Adele Breeze, and how most people had no idea this was even happening when she was alive. So again, very obscure in life. And now, she's getting her flowers. And now we understand that this is an approved apparition at Our Lady of Champion, the only approved apparition in the United States. Unbelievable. So getting the glory, if you will, after death is also a sign. During life, you need to be careful with that. You need to be really careful with that. God always chooses weak instruments, like Mother Teresa, right? She used to say, I'm just a pencil in God's hands. And God somehow seems to delight in choosing the weak to shame the strong. And so, obviously, we've got to look at the ordinary magisterium. We've got to look at the local bishop. There's really no approval at the universal level of the church without the approval of local bishops, for sure. So local bishops, that's key. And that happened with all the major approved apparitions, of course. And then, of course, the universal church, the magisterium, has that responsibility. So we don't need to worry about it. We don't need to try to become a magisterium unto ourselves. The judgment is not ours. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. God has given us a church with a teaching office so that we don't need to reinvent everything from scratch. It's there for us, and we need to trust. And that's not putting your brain on the shelf. That's using your brain rightly. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Here is a miracle moment for you.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
So John says, I love the show. You got me back to confession after about 20 years. Wow. I want to learn more about my Catholic faith. My faith is growing stronger each day. Thank you. Well, gosh, John, thank you so much. It's great to hear from you. Thank you for saying that. And isn't God generous with his grace and how he works through Relevant Radio in just amazing ways?
This miracle moment was brought to you by you.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Help us change hearts and lives by giving a tax-deductible donation now at relevantradio.com or in the Relevant Radio app. Help us create more miracle moments with a tax-deductible donation to Relevant Radio.
Help us bring Christ to the world with a financial gift of any amount. You can give on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com.
Or call 1-877-291-0123.
Timmer here joining Cale Clark. We're working our way to 87 people giving this hour, and we need $27,000. And I have great news. We are four people away from 87,000. Wow. Well, actually, Cale, only three if you donate. So we're working our way there, but we need $12,000 in the next 15 minutes, Cale. And that means we need people to be a little more generous right now. Whatever you can give, I'm asking you to give now to make our way there. But maybe you can give $5,000. Maybe you can give the whole 12. We're asking you to donate to Relevant Radio, and whatever you give right now in the next 15 minutes, each dollar will be doubled. In fact, John just now gave for the first time to Relevant Radio $300 in San Jose, California.
Thank you,
his
John.
First time giving, and that will be doubled to $600. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Absolutely. RelevantRadio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or you can call 877-291-0123. Now, when you go to the app, you can also check out the beautiful praying Madonna statue, and it is gorgeous. And one thing, and Timmer, you alluded to this last time we were chatting, that Relevant Radio always selects very classy gifts to give to people. I've always been impressed at what has been chosen. They're really well-chosen items. So you can look at the full collection on the Relevant Radio app. And we're talking about Mary a lot this week because May is the month of Mary. So it's just a beautiful thing if you come in at that $600 a year level. That'll be doubled, by the way, to a $1,200 impact for us by a generous donor. And we'll send you that beautiful statue in return. And again, it's about the act of giving that's more important than the amount. Here's what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's such a good chapter with reference to giving. He was talking about a group of particularly generous believers. He said, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Their poverty welled up in generosity. Can you imagine that? For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. And then he said this, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. God knows what you've got. He knows your limitations. And he's only concerned, hey, are you being a good steward of what I've entrusted you with? Not what somebody else has been entrusted with, but what about you? 877-291-0123, the Relevant Radio app and relevantradio.com.
And I always say, fear is not of God. To see St. Paul and the many saints for us who say, give even in the face of trial and poverty, they know because God provides all the more. Fear is not of God. His generosity is flooded down upon us. And so give right now. Give to give that great gift of Our Lady. If you give at that $50 a month level, 877-291-0123, or donate online, relevantradio.com, or tap the banner if you're listening on the app.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Yeah, if you want to call me right now and talk about what we've been talking about, how the Vatican's going to release a new set of guidelines, how do you know if a Marian apparition, alleged, is actually real? Well, we're going to find out more about this next week, but we've been talking about some ways that we can know. The church has already said so much about this in the past, and I don't think there's not going to be too much that's new here, maybe updated for our times. We also talked about three ways you can know whether or not an apparition is from God. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I also want to talk a little bit about Cardinal Newman once again, because again, he wrote so much about Mary. Hello, Newman, as Seinfeld used to say. And by the way, there's a pretty cool Seinfeld movie on Netflix now called Unfrosted. It's all about the invention of the Pop-Tart. So if you like Seinfeld, it's actually pretty good. It's pretty clean. There's only one scene that I was like, I don't know about this, but it's PG-13. But anyways, I thought it was pretty well done. But of course, your mileage may vary. At any rate, let's talk about Cardinal Newman. And this is what he said about the Immaculate Conception. Really, really important. He's kind of going through all the titles of Our Lady according to the Litany of Loreto. The most pure virgin, the virgin most pure. That's one of her titles. And Cardinal Newman said this, quote, "By the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin, this is meant the great revealed truth that she was conceived in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, without original sin." A very, very nice way of saying that, very simple doctrine. Yeah, the Immaculate Conception has nothing to do with Jesus, the virginal conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. No, no. The Immaculate Conception is about Mary's conception, conceived without original sin. And Cardinal Newman goes on to say this, quote, "Since the fall of Adam, all mankind, his descendants, are conceived and born in sin. Behold, says the psalmist, behold, I was conceived in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The sin which belongs to every one of us, it's ours from the first moment of our existence, is the sin of unbelief and disobedience by which Adam lost paradise. We, as the children of Adam, are heirs to the consequences of his sin, and we have forfeited in him that spiritual robe of grace and holiness which he had given him by his Creator at the time that he was made." You know, it's kind of interesting. I'm going to stop there for a second. A lot of scholars and writers, and we kind of alluded to this a little bit when I did the Genesis series on the Faith Explained show, and I want to do more research on this because it's such a fascinating topic. A lot of scholars and saints and interpreters have said that really, before original sin came into the world, Adam and Eve were kind of clothed, if you will, in garments of light, radiant light, when they were in this pure state of innocence. It's kind of interesting to think about. And then when they sin, when Eve eats of the fruit, gives it to her husband, they realize, their eyes are open, then they realize that they're naked. And they're like, uh-oh, we better make some Fruit of the Loom underwear here, sew some fig leaves together. But before that, they kind of maybe were clothed with these garments of light, if you will. And Cardinal Newman says, a spiritual robe of grace and holiness, which were given to them. How about that? Well, we get the sacrament of baptism, and we can get back into being in God's family, his children. But Newman says, Mary was never in this state. She was, by the eternal decree of God, exempted from this condition of original sin. And many saints and teachers and preachers have talked about this throughout the ages. There's two ways to save somebody from falling into a muddy pit. You can either pull them up out of the muddy pit, wash them off, hose them down, and that's really what happens to the rest of us with baptism. Original sin is washed away, and any actual sins we've committed prior to baptism as well, if we're older, you know, beyond the age of reason. But Mary was prevented from falling into the muddy pit in the first place. And that's what God did with the Immaculate Conception. Not even for a nanosecond was she touched by original sin. That's a more perfect way for her to be made who God created her to be. And from all eternity, this is a wild thought that, quite frankly, I'd never thought of before. Cardinal Newman said this, that really from all eternity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, not only did they know from the very beginning they're going to create us and that we would fall, but even in that eternal moment, they knew how the redemption was going to happen. So Mary was kind of in God's plan from the very beginning. Unbelievable. And you and I get to have her as our spiritual mother. Unbelievable. I just love it so much, and I hope you love your Catholic faith too. I know you do.
Okay, we're in that final push. Praise God, we made it to that 87 people this hour. However, we're a little shy. We still need about, let's see, $9,000 in the next 5 minutes. So here's the opportunity. I'm Timmy, joining the Cale Clark Show, and Cale and I are asking you to donate and give as generously as you can. The phone number to give is 877-291-0123. It's even easier to give online at relevantradio.com, where you can see some of the gifts we have in gratitude to you.
Absolutely. relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or you can call 877, the old-fashioned way, call 877-291-0123, and friendly operators are standing by. And Timmy, this kind of reminds me of a famous incident from the life of St. Jose Maria Escrivá. He was giving out communion to a bunch of nuns, and he told the story on himself. He was very humble about it. And as he was giving, can you believe this? He was giving communion to these nuns, and he was saying, "Jesus, I'm so glad that I love you more than this one." And then he would do this down the line. Can you believe that? And then he heard this voice. Speaking of a private revelation, he got a locution from God. God spoke to him and said, "Love is deeds, not sweet words." Oh, wow. He was kind of cut to the heart. Love is deeds, not sweet words. And, you know, really, when you commit to the deed of giving, that's true love. That's true love for God. And St. Paul said this, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Here's the truth, Timmery. God's going to get his work done no matter what. If God wants Relevant Radio to succeed, he's going to make it happen. Okay, he's going to provide the means. But he simply gives you and I the opportunity to partner with him and to partake in those blessings that he wants to give us as well when we give. 877-291-0123. Your gift is matched 100%. RelevantRadio.com, the Relevant Radio app. And who's been giving in these next few minutes? Timmy, what's going on here?
People have been so generous. We just had an anonymous gift from Brownsville, Texas come in at that $365 level. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Texas, yes. Coming through.
Amen.
I love it.
Carrie just gave $20 from Normal, Illinois. Again, giving what we can, giving generously, seeing those dollars match so quickly here. Mm. And this is the time to give, because for the next 4 minutes, whatever you give is matched. This is why Raul, Steve, Troy, and Inez all just gave to Relevant Radio, and they saw every dollar they gave generously matched by other donors as well.
Oh, that's unbelievable. I just love this. And yeah, I love the music too, Producer Jim. Whew. From North Carolina. No, we won't do that, but I do want you to call 877-291-0123, the Relevant Radio app, relevantradio.com. Be an all-star member, yes, of our Relevant Radio family by donating right now. Your gift is matched 100%. We just have a couple minutes left in this hour. And really, again, it's a vote of confidence for this program. If you want me to stay on Relevant Radio, I hope you do. I sure want to stay. Why not give this program a vote of confidence by saying, yes, I want to donate. I want to keep the Cale Clark Show on the air. 877-291-0123, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app. Timmery.
Where are you listening from? Dennis in San Francisco, listening on 1260 AM, said, "You unpack the Bible verses and make them come to life, Cale, with your vast knowledge of the history, and you're weaving in contemporary experiences and phrases like sports and entertainment references and your own experiences with faith. I'm finding my way toward God. I really appreciate your program. I learn so much every time. All the information is accessible and relevant." That's Dennis in San Francisco. Cale, people love your show. And this is why, if you can, pray for Cale, but support. Let people know how much you love the Cale Clark program by helping to keep this program on air today. And you have just 2 minutes left to give.
Thank you so much, Dennis. I really appreciate your support and your very, very kind words there. 877-291-0123, the Relevant Radio app, relevantradio.com. At the end of the day, though, you're not really giving to Relevant Radio. You're giving to the work of the Lord. You're giving to the work of Jesus Christ. We want to bring Christ to the world through the media. That's the mission of Relevant Radio. And you can help to give that hope, the living hope of Christ, by calling 877-291-0123. Your dollar is matched 100%. Any gift, any size is doubled. RelevantRadio.com and the Relevant Radio app. Help us to give hope right now.